Welcome to the FMC Technologies fourth quarter earnings analyst call. My name is John, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And now I'll now turn the call over to Brad Alexander. Brad, you may begin.
Thank you, John. Good morning and welcome to FMC Technologies' fourth quarter 2013 earnings conference call. Our news release and financial statements issued yesterday can be found on our website. I would like to caution you with respect to any forward-looking statements made during this call. Although these forward-looking statements are based on our current expectations, beliefs, and assumptions regarding future developments and business conditions, they are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by these statements. Known material factors that could cause our actual results to differ from our projected results are described in our 10-K, 10-Q, and other filings with the SEC. We wish to caution you not to place undue reliance on any forward-looking statements which speak only as of the date hereof. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any of our forward-looking statements after the date they are made, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to John Grimp, FMC Technologies Chairman, President, and CEO.
Good morning. Welcome to our fourth quarter 2013 conference call. With me today is Marianne Seaman, our CFO. I'll start with some highlights from the quarter and for the year. Marianne will provide specifics on our financial performance and our outlook for 2014, and then we'll open up the call for your questions. Regarding the results for the quarter and full year, earnings were 74 cents per diluted share for the quarter and $2.10 for the full year, an 18% increase over our prior year performance and our 12th consecutive year of earnings growth. Our operational performance in the fourth quarter was strong, especially in Subsea Technologies, where we achieved record subsea revenue and subsea margins were 13.6% when excluding an Angolan tax adjustment that Marianne will discuss later. Record quarterly operating profit was driven primarily by year-over-year growth in our Subsea Technologies segment. We've taken actions to improve the operational efficiencies in the Eastern region. Specifically, we've reduced our contract workforce and implemented process improvements and organizational changes over the past few months. The initial benefit of these actions contributed to our improved fourth quarter operational performance. We are now implementing a plan to reduce staff and support employees in the first quarter. And we will continue to focus on ensuring that the improved performance as a result of these actions is sustainable. Subsea Technologies' record revenue of $1.4 billion in the quarter represented a 24% sequential and 13% year-over-year increase and drove the segment's full-year revenue to $4.7 billion. Our subsea revenue has grown at a compound annual growth rate of 20% since 2010, thus reinforcing our decision to invest in capacity ahead of the growth in the subsea market. We anticipate year-over-year quarterly and full-year revenue growth in 2014, although the first quarter will experience significant sequential decline. And we're forecasting that activity will return to higher levels in the second quarter. Subsea Technologies inbound for the fourth quarter was $1 billion, and it included the recent Statoil award for the Snorre B workover system in Norway. We were awarded 6 trees in the quarter, bringing our 2013 total to 193 trees. Our full-year market share for the industry tree awards is approximately 35%. Operators continue to award subsea projects in all the deepwater basins throughout the world, consistent with their strategic development of their deepwater portfolios. Our 2013 total inbound was a record $6.5 billion, and includes significant year-over-year growth for both multi-phase meters and Schilling robotics. As a result of our strong order performance this year, we exited the year with $6 billion in Subsea Technologies backlog. Surface Technologies' fourth quarter revenue was $489 million on the strength of our international surface wellhead business. In the quarter, we inbounded a record amount of orders due to our growing position in the Middle East. Our fluid control business has performed well in the current North American market, and this is a result of strong activity and related demand for our repair and replacement flow line equipment. Looking forward, we expect subsea revenue in 2014 to exceed $5 billion, a more modest growth rate than what we've experienced over the last few years. This is due to lower backlog conversion associated with awards we received from Petrobras last year that have a multi-year delivery schedule, and Total's Agena project that also has a longer delivery schedule. We expect continued subsea margin improvement, achieving full-year subsea margins of 13 to 14% through improvements in execution and conversion of a better price backlog. Turning to subsea order activity for the industry, total tree orders will be down as Petrobras will not repeat the 2013 awards related to their multi-year pre-salt requirements. Excluding these trees, we expect awards for the industry should be equal to, if not greater, than 2013. There are a large number of projects expected in West Africa, with the possibility of the industry's largest award, Kaombo in Angola, being made this year. It's also likely we'll see the first major awards from East Africa, along with year-over-year order strength coming from Asia Pacific. The Gulf of Mexico should again be strong as a large number of new build ultra-deepwater rigs enter the market and our partners BP, Shell, Anadarko, and Hess increase their activity in the Gulf. We believe we can inbound at least $5 billion in subsea awards in 2014. The large number of industry subsea awards over the last couple years has filled backlogs, and the pricing environment remains positive. When evaluating the projects that are likely to be awarded in the next few years, we don't expect this trend to change. Looking at our growth platforms, in subsea services, we expect to bring our fourth light well intervention stack into the market later this year, and it's planned to be used in our joint venture with Schwest. We further expect to expand our market reach in this growing subsea services market. Our service facility expansions in Norway and Brazil will allow us to meet growing customer demand for customer refurbishment. And the continued focus on maximizing reservoir recovery is increasing the demand for the life of field services that we have developed. In surface technologies, the international market should remain strong in 2014. North America looks relatively flat from an industry perspective, but with better integration of our products and services, we expect to improve our market position. We've recently received a multi-year Pemex contract renewal with a potential value of $64 million, and our backlog for the Middle East and Europe is at record levels. Conversely, North America has seen flat activity over the last few years, and we believe this is likely to persist throughout the year. In the long term, we continue to view the shale plays as a growth opportunity and are taking steps to further integrate our products and services to better serve our customers in the shale markets. In summary, we delivered strong operational results this quarter. Subsea Technologies' improved execution and project mix resulted in significant sequential margin expansion in the fourth quarter. Subsea Technologies' 2014 outlook includes increased revenue and improved margins, with inbound awards that will remain at high levels coming off of our record year in 2013. Surface Technologies' outlook includes another strong year of international surface wellhead activity. And we expect to deliver our 13th consecutive year of earnings growth. Marianne will now take you through some of the financial details in the quarter and for the full year and provide a more detailed explanation of our 2014 expectations.
Thanks, John. Our fourth quarter operational performance was solid. Included in our earnings in the fourth quarter is an $11.1 million charge, or 5 cents per share, for the increased liability associated with the earnout from our multi-phase meters acquisition, as performance was better than forecasted. This compares to a $17.5 million charge in the fourth quarter of 2012. This is the final quarter for the earnout associated with this transaction. This payment will be made in the second quarter. We have been very satisfied with the performance of multi-phase meters over the last 2 years as revenue has grown over 60%, and the global opportunities to include multi-phase meters in subsea equipment purchases has increased. Subsea Technologies' operating profit was $210 million in the fourth quarter, with an operating margin of 15.1%. This quarterly result includes $23 million of recognized revenue and operating profit associated with an adjustment for Angolan withholding taxes, which our customer is contractually obligated to pay. Excluding this from our operational results, our Subsea Technologies margin was 13.6% in the quarter and consistent with our expectations. This benefit consequently increased our tax expense by $22 million. This adjusted quarterly result is more indicative of the operational performance we expect, while at the same time recognizing that we need to effectively manage all the risks and opportunities inherent in our large portfolio. Additionally, the actions that John mentioned that we have taken to reduce cost and improve operational performance, combined with the headcount reductions that will occur in the first quarter, should provide a more sustainable level of performance. Surface Technologies generated operating profit of $68 million, with a margin of 13.9%. Operating profit increased 5% from the prior year quarter, but declined 9% sequentially. Surface wellhead sales were at record levels in the quarter, but carried a less favorable margin mix than in the third quarter. Fluid control operating income and margins were down sequentially as North America slowed due to our customers' activity. Backlog for fluid control has shown no improvement in 2013 due to the lack of demand for new capital equipment in the North American market. Our sales have largely been limited to repair and replacement work. Completion services activity saw only modest increases from the third quarter as Canada activity has progressed slower than anticipated. Orders for surface technology for the quarter were $622 million. This record level of orders is driven by our international surface wellhead business that continues to see strong activity in the Middle East and Europe. Backlog now stands at $742 million for this segment. Energy infrastructure generated fourth quarter operating profit of $23 million. With a margin of 13.1%. Now for the corporate items. Corporate expense in the quarter was $13.1 million. Other income and expense net reflects expense of $10 million. This includes the $11.1 million charge associated with the acquisition of multi-phase meters, as their performance was again better than expected, but was offset by favorable foreign exchange variances and changes in the LIFO inventory costs. Our fourth quarter tax rate was 33.7%. The rate, excluding the effect of the Angolan withholding tax adjustment, was 25.6%. For the full year, our tax rate was 29.8%. Excluding that Angola tax adjustment, the annual tax rate was 26.7%. Capital spending for this quarter was $77 million, primarily directed towards Subsea Technologies infrastructure and service asset investments. For the full year, our capital spending was $314 million. We repurchased 884 million shares of stock in the fourth quarter at an average price of $51.38 per share. For the full year, we repurchased approximately 2.3 million shares at an average cost of $51.57. At the end of the fourth quarter, we had net debt of $973 million. It was comprised of $399 million of cash and $1.4 billion of debt. So in summary, for 2013, we earned $2.10 per diluted share on revenue of $7.1 billion, an 18% year-over-year increase in earnings, and a 16% increase on revenue. Subsea Technologies revenue was $4.7 billion, an increase of 18%, with adjusted margins of 11.2%. Surface Technologies revenue was $1.8 billion, an increase of 13%, with margins of 14.2%. And energy infrastructure revenue was $617 million, an increase of 8% with margins of 12%. Looking at 2014, our earnings per share guidance for 2014 is in the range of $2.55 to $2.75, an increase between 21 and 31% year over year. This guidance includes an estimate of $21 million for settlement charges associated with the de-risking of our defined benefit plan that we will incur primarily in the fourth quarter. In Subsea Technologies, we expect revenue to exceed $5 billion, with our backlog conversion rate slowing to approximately 50%, as we have a greater number of multi-year awards in our backlog. We do expect the conversion rate to increase in 2015, and subsequently we will see revenue grow at a higher rate than 2014 as we execute backlog and grow our services business. As John mentioned, we forecast subsea awards of at least $5 billion in 2014, and this will keep our book-to-bill ratio close to one. As we have seen in Subsea Technologies in prior years, we anticipate a sequential revenue and margin decline in the first quarter of 2014. The overall revenue decline should be very similar to what we experienced in 2013. As we typically see each year, weather affects our subsea services business and our supply chain activity decreases. The sequential revenue decline for the quarter also includes the effect of two of our well intervention stacks going through their five-year recertification process. We will incur costs associated with this process, along with absorbing the fixed costs related to these stacks while they are inactive. Additionally, we'll incur severance charges in the first quarter related to the reduction of permanent employees in the Eastern region as part of the changes we discussed. As a result, our EBIT margin performance in the first quarter will be further impacted by these actions. We anticipate these items will affect earnings in total in a range of $30 to $35 million in the first quarter. Subsea margins should see sequential quarterly improvement beginning in the second quarter. For the full year, we anticipate margins should average 13 to 14%. Moving on to our surface technology segment, in surface wellhead, with our large international backlog and a healthy international rig count, we expect to have another strong year of sales. In North America, rig count looks to remain relatively flat and has kept our expectations for 2014 modest. In fluid control, we expect our repair and replacement activity to remain healthy. We are, however, forecasting another year of minimal sales associated with fleet replacement or expansion. Overall, we estimate full-year surface technologies margins to be stronger than 2013 on the strength of the international surface wellhead business. In energy infrastructure, revenue growth could approach double digits in 2014 on improved performance in our loading systems and measurement solutions businesses. Margins for this segment are likely to improve over 2013. We expect a decline in both revenue and margins in the first quarter for energy infrastructure, with better activities in the second half of the year. Regarding corporate items, we expect corporate expense to average approximately $15 million per quarter in 2014. We expect other expense net to average $19 million per quarter in 2014, subject to foreign currency fluctuations. Included in our full-year estimates is $21 million of higher pension expense associated with plans to de-risk our defined benefit plan. Our fourth quarter expense will include the majority of this charge. We expect our interest expense to average $8 million per quarter. We anticipate our 2014 tax rate to range between 30% and 32% for the full year. We expect capital spending in 2014 to be approximately $400 million. The majority of our 2014 capital spending will again be directed towards subsea, including increased spending related to growth of our subsea service offerings. We are now reaching payment milestones on many of our projects, which are improving our free cash flow position. This will continue as we improve our execution on a greater number of projects. In conclusion, we expect Subsea Technologies revenue to exceed $5 billion and continue to see operating margins expand sequentially beginning in the second quarter. With our current backlog and the expectation of at least $5 billion of inbound in 2014, Subsea Technologies revenue should see higher revenue growth rates in 2014 and continued subsea margin expansions from pricing, effective execution, and improved cost structure. Our surface technologies business will also grow as our strong international presence should continue to deliver solid performance. Operator, you may now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you do have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you do have a question, press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question is from Doug Becker from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I guess as we start dissecting the subsea margins, Marianne, maybe you could give us a little reconciliation between the third quarter to the fourth quarter. What really drove the margin improvement, and what gives the confidence around sustainability?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as you know, in the third quarter, we did have the benefit going forward into the fourth quarter of some of the first round of headcount reductions that we took. We were expecting our subsea services business to continue to perform well in the fourth quarter, and it did. And again, our mix of our lower margin projects as we complete those improved in the fourth quarter as well. You know, as we think about why the margins should continue to improve over the second, third, and fourth quarter of next year, excuse me, this year, and again, we are looking at sequential improvement each quarter post the first quarter. You know, the lion's share of those lower margin projects that we've talked about are past us. You know, we are seeing growth in the subsea services business. We will have the benefit of both rounds of headcount reductions that we have discussed previously in the Eastern region, one that took place in September, the other that took place in December. And as John talked about, we are in the final stages of completing a round of permanent headcount reductions that will happen in the first quarter. So we'll get the benefit of all of those things happening beginning really in the second quarter of 2014.
So is the company in a position to exit the 2014 or fourth quarter 2014 above mid-teens margins in subsea?
Yeah, so when we look at the margin progression, we expect by the second quarter to be in the teens, and then in the back half of the year, third and fourth quarter, you know, we'll be in the 15-ish range.
Okay, makes sense. And then, John, maybe you could just address a lot of the concerns about slowing subsea tree order growth. Just your thoughts on that, just generally. But then as we think maybe a little bit longer term about the five-year outlook, what type of levers does FMC have to really continue the growth that you've seen in the past?
Great. Thank you, Doug. With regard to the near-term industry outlook, I think you have to look at it by backing out Petrobras. So there were 551 trees ordered in 2013. That came after 400-plus in 2012. So you had 2 years of back-to-back 30-plus percent increase in industry tree awards. But in 2013, 180 of those trees were for Petrobras for four-year requirements. So you got to take that out. And when you take that out, we're estimating that the tree count for 2014, excluding Petrobras, could be in the 400 range. So you're talking about another very strong year of tree awards, and this is backed up by the number of deepwater projects, particularly in West Africa, they're scheduled to be awarded, the strength in the Gulf of Mexico, and new projects in Asia Pacific. And so they support tree awards in 2014, again, excluding Petrobras, as strong, if not stronger, than what we saw in the record year 2013. So that gives us confidence that in the near term, the industry tree awards will hold up pretty well. Now, there's obviously, we know that the operators are under a lot of pressure in terms of capital allocation and improving earnings. What they're not doing, though, is they're looking at their large portfolio of undeveloped discoveries, and they've had a lot of deepwater discovery success, and they're not backing off of that. Instead, they're looking at that portfolio, how can we improve the returns? And a lot of our conversations with our customers, it's not about reducing their development costs, it's how can they improve the returns and how can FMC help them. One of the ways, of course, we can help them do that is through standardization. So that's what gives us quite a bit of confidence that looking at 2014, we're going to have another healthy year of tree inbound. Now, your second question about the five-year outlook for FTI in terms of growth, obviously, we're going to. Our plan is to hold on to our leadership position, and we'll benefit by the strength going forward. But in the out years, we'll be able to continue to grow with the implementation of our subsea growth platforms, particularly subsea processing, There's a number of subsea processing awards that should materialize in the five-year time frame that you described. That'll add to FTI's growth. And then we're very encouraged, I mentioned this in my prepared remarks, about subsea services. We expect subsea services growth to kick in during that five-year period. So when you look at FMC 5 years out, we're going to hold our leadership position. Even if the industry growth on conventional equipment is relatively modest, we'll get that growth, plus the growth from our new growth platforms, and that's what will sustain above industry growth for FTI over the next 5 years.
I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Our next question is from Phil Sanchez from Howard Weil. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning. Marianne or John, just as far as reconciling the new guidance on average margins for subsea, and given your answer to the question regarding first quarter, it seems like, you know, margins in subsea may be, frankly, high single digits, 1Q, and I'm guessing the severance charge that you guys are taking in the eastern region, is that new as it relates to our guidance outlook, and is that really the kind of the 100 basis point difference here between the guidance ranges as we think about the margin for full year 14?
Okay, Bill, Marianne. So first, you're right. We'll look at sort of low double digit in the first quarter, and then again sequentially seeing us ramp up each quarter after that. The severance charge is in the first quarter, but it is not 100 basis points. As we talk about, we've got a lot of things that we continue to focus on as it relates to those margins. You know, the first of all being the fact that our margins and backlog have continued to grow as we talked about, and clearly our performance in the fourth quarter has demonstrated that as we execute properly. But the other impact occurring in the first quarter is we now have two stacks that are going through their five-year certification. You may remember we had one stack first quarter of last year. So all of the costs associated with that, and they'll be out of service essentially for the lion's share of the quarter. And that's what causes really, we have a slower seasonal impact from the services business, and then those two units down for the better part of the quarter.
So Marianne, just so I'm clear, so if we think about the 14 to 15% average subsea margin for 14 that you guys had thought prior to this call, and the 13 to 14, the two differences are the severance charges and this the higher well intervention cost that we're going to incur in 1Q?
Yeah, Bill, we certainly knew we had well intervention costs in our forecast. You know, we are about, two quarters behind, if you will, as you know, in the third quarter. And we did really well, as we expected, in the fourth quarter. And we think we're going to be able to continue to maintain that level of performance and, again, improve based on our performance in that quarter. So, as you talk about 14 to 15% versus, sort of the 13 to 14 we're guiding now, we obviously feel very confident in that 13 to 14%, given where we have been, given the actions that we have taken, both in September, December, and those that we will take in the first quarter, along with the good margins in backlog and our execution improvement.
Bill, this is John. Let me add that Marianne made the point, but I think it's very important. We are delighted that we saw margin and backlog grow again in the fourth quarter. The margins and backlog easily support subsea margins going forward in the mid-teens and the 15-plus range. Our issue is about, in addition to the severance charge and so forth, our issue is around our ability to execute. We're pleased that the actions that we took after the third quarter resulted in improved execution. Now, it wasn't perfect execution, but it was in the range that that we expect. What we're working hard at is making sure that execution performance is sustainable. And it just seems reasonable that we not get too far ahead of ourselves in terms of the pace of execution improvement going forward. We're very confident. Actually, after the steps that we took in the fourth quarter, we're even more confident that we're going to be able to get these execution improvements on a sustainable level. It just made sense that we not get too ahead of ourselves in terms of the pace at which we make these execution improvements, and particularly in light that we'll be operating at a level we've never operated before.
Sure. And just one follow-up. Marion, you offered up, I guess, just generalities around 15 subsea top line. You talked specifically about conversion this year out of backlog being 50%. I think that historically has run around 60% for the company. What do we think about in 15? I mean, do we split the difference between the two, or can we see conversion from backlog be as high as 60% in 15?
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's a tough question sitting here today. It'll all depend on sort of how that backlog comes in. But we would expect to see it move closer to where we have been in the past, to the 60%. You know, as you know, what's causing the 50% kind of conversion right now is the large pre-salt tree award and the manifold award, as well as the long tail on Agena. So we would expect to progress closer to the 60. Sitting here today, a little bit difficult for me, you know, to project, not knowing exactly how the inbound is going to come in. But we would expect to be well above 50% in 2015.
I appreciate the time. I'll turn it back.
Our next question is from Thomas Kieran from FBR Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Maybe shifting gears first to the surface side, could you share some of the key assumptions for surface in North America at the low and high end for that division of your guidance?
Well, first, Tom, we're assuming that Surface North America activity is essentially going to be flat. So the improvement is largely going to come from our international business, which, where we, as I mentioned in my remarks, is a record backlog. I'll let Marianne talk about the range in Surface, what would drive either end of that. But basically, for North America, we're assuming the market's largely flat.
Yeah, so as I mentioned in my comments, we clearly expect to see full-year average Surface Technologies margins exceed where they were in 2013. So, you know, we're in the range of 14.2% full year. We would expect, based on the strength of the international segment, to see growth over this year. We'll see that a little more back-end loaded than it is front-end loaded, but we expect to see improvement in the first half versus the back half, in the first half of 2014 versus the back half of 2013. Okay?
Okay. And just so I'm clear, though, when you say the expectation for onshore North America is flat, do you mean in terms of demand on an average annual basis or from here forward, from end 2013 forward?
No, we would expect to see improvement in the back half.
Okay. I got it. So that is for North America. Okay. Thank you for that. Turning back to subsea, John, how would you expect the award flow to come in over the course of 2014? You know, you've spoken to that previously in your annual outlook. Some years it's been evenly distributed. Others it's been heavily front or back end loaded. What would you expect for 2014?
I'd say it's more even. It's, you know, for the whole industry, the largest subsea award ever is Total's Kaombo project, and that could move all over the place. So wherever that lands will drive the whole industry. But looking at FMC's inbound and our projections, I would say it's more even. You know, a lot of our inbound, I referenced the $5-plus billion. Let's talk about where that will come from. It'll come first and foremost from our partners. These are projects that we know that are going ahead. We know that we're going to participate, and they're pretty evenly distributed throughout the year. Second is from subsea services, which we expect to continue to grow. That's evenly distributed, except for the first quarter. Other than the first quarter, it's pretty evenly distributed throughout the year. And then the balance of the inbound will come from targeted projects that are being tendered. And I think even those are fairly evenly distributed. So not front end, not back end, probably a little bit more evenly distributed. But for the industry, depends on some of these, the timing of the big West Africa projects.
All right. And then on the subsea processing front, how about an update on three topics, Marlene, the expected subsea processing award slate for this year, and then the latest on bids outstanding for the helicoaxial multi-phase pump.
Okay, with regard to Marlin, essentially no change. Mark continues to perform as expected. no issue there. I think the issue is really just Petrobras, which I don't have a lot of insights in, but it must be very complex for them. They've got to evaluate how to apply this technology. They've got, I'm sure they have, issues over their priorities for capital allocation, and it's just taking a long time, obviously, for them to complete their evaluations to how they want to apply this new technology. There's no question that they need it in order to boost production in their legacy fields, but really no change from what we reported before. It's still under evaluation by Petrobras. Regarding the Subsea Processing Award outlook for 2014, there's about 9 projects that are named. Not all those projects are equipment projects. About 5 or 6 are equipment projects. And we expect at least some, if not all of those, to go ahead. Most of them are boosting. And then for FMC and our helicoaxial pump, we have 1 tender outstanding, and there'll be more opportunities in 2014 on the projects that I referenced for us to, which we fully expect to be qualified to participate in additional tenders in 2014.
Great. Thanks for the comprehensive response. I'll get back in the queue.
Our next question is from Robin Shoemaker from Citigroup.
Yes, thank you. John, I wanted to ask here again about the $5 billion of revenue this year and indicated 50% outflow of backlog. So with $3 billion coming out of backlog, $2 billion roughly from customer support and book and turn type of activity. So is there anything that you could comment on there, you know, in terms of the trends that you see in customer support, book and turn? Is there any notable upturn or anything that's changed about that part of your revenue stream?
Well, first of all, Robin, the $3 billion out of backlog, that's right. We normally look at subsea services at about $1.5 billion, and then about $500 million comes from book and turn equipment, not services. And that's sort of been our historical amount. So back to your question, the $1.5 billion of subsea services, each year that has grown, which you'd expect it to grow because there's more installation and so forth. And with with our 3 intervention stacks fully utilized, other than the first quarter when they'll be down for this recertification, all that's, at least historically, has been contributing to year-over-year growth in subsea services, and that's the $1.5 billion represents some growth from where we were in 2013. And I'm sure, you know, I know that number will continue to grow year-over-year, not only as the installed base and the normal growth in installation services, but as we continue to offer new services through our light well intervention stacks and other services that we're offering, that number is going to continue to grow. And it'll grow
okay.
Faster than the equipment growth.
I see. Okay. My other question then about some you mentioned in earlier some of what you're hearing from your customers who your frame agreement alliance partners, some of whom have issued comments here lately about scaling back CapEx and lowering production targets in order to improve returns. And you commented that you didn't see too much impact on subsea. Is there any part of your business in this either in surface or energy infrastructure where you expect to see some of the impact of that?
No, we haven't seen any impact in the non-businesses. I want to be clear, though, on the subsea side. There's no question that the operators are under pressure, and we're seeing the impact of it. The impact, though, is not so much dramatic reductions in CapEx as it is attempts to work, change their approach with regard to their development plan so they can improve the returns. That's the focus that we're seeing from the operators.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to leave you with the impression that we're not seeing any impact. We're seeing an impact. It's just it's manifesting itself and the operators reaching out to us to help them improve their returns, and one of the best ways to do that is to move towards more standards where you can improve the first oil date, you can reduce costs. So that's the reaction that we're getting. But they're under pressure to have more discipline on returns and capital allocation.
Well, just on that point, does it? Do you think it impacts their appetite for frontier kind of technologies, including, you know, some of the more ambitious aspects of subsea processing? That might be a lesser priority now.
I haven't seen any evidence of that. I mean, you can argue just the opposite, that it's this new technology that can boost reservoir recovery rates. So, I mean, if you just look at it economically, you're going to get better returns if you can improve your reservoir recovery, and that's exactly what subsea processing and some of this intervention technology does. So it should work just the opposite, that they would be more interested in implementing this new technology because it improves the returns and reduces their CapEx. So I'm not sure that doesn't drive them more towards implementing this new technology.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question is from Brad Handler from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad.
I guess I wasn't necessarily going to ask this, but just to follow on with Robin's line of questioning and your thoughts, are there some timing implications, though, if your customers are reaching out to try to do something different? It's easy for us to conclude that there might be a longer digestion, a longer processing time if they are thinking along different lines, your customers?
Yes, and we've seen some examples of that. Mad Dog is a good example of that. We expected Mad Dog inbound early 2013, and BP had to rework their plans, and now we believe Mad Dog could be awarded in 2014. And so, yeah, I think
yes,
that's reasonable to assume there would be some delays. But it hasn't been wholesale. There's been more awards happen, and I think Total Keano is a good example. Here's a very large award that, by West Africa standards, is moving at a pretty normal clip. So I think there have been those exceptions of timing delays as these alternatives are reworked, but it hasn't been a wholesale delay in projects that I've seen so far.
Okay. All right, fair enough. If I may now turn just to a couple other questions, which I was going to hit on away from subsea, actually. Maybe Mary Ann, could you help us understand the negative mix in the fourth quarter in surface and international that you mentioned, and how do you calibrate the issue with that, how that recurs, if that recurs?
Yeah, sure. So as we looked at kind of the fourth quarter performance, we saw slowing clearly in North America, really by customer activities. As we look out over the forecast in the next couple of quarters, you know, the international market, as I mentioned, is continuing to grow, and we certainly are not anticipating a repeat of that. The repair and replacement business has been strong, and we certainly expect to see that continue over the next couple of quarters. So it was really a mixed issue in our business in the fourth quarter. We don't expect it to repeat, as I mentioned. And we are expecting, you know, kind of that first half of 2014 to look better than the back half of 2013.
Oh, I think I misunderstood. So just in other words, I thought it was a negative mix shift within the international wellhead segment, but that's not what you're saying. You're saying it was negative because
No, it was our North America business, our North America
okay.
Surface wellhead and fluid control.
I see. And just very quickly, I noticed your tax rate guidance is, I think, pretty meaningfully above where it has been. Is there something driving that, and is something north of 30% what we might think of as the new norm?
Well, you know, for 2014, as we look at our earnings mix, we've got a different mix of earnings that we had in 2013. You may remember us also talking about in 2013 we were receiving the benefit of some work that we were doing with respect to restructuring in our European region, and there's been some tax law changes, so we'll lose a little bit of that benefit. But it's largely mix-driven this year. We've got quite a bit of revenue coming through from Aegina, which is, you know, Nigeria. So our mix looks different this year than it did in 2013.
Gotcha. And then I guess just going forward, if the Gulf of Mexico starts to become a bit larger, I suppose that might. Well, that might push you to a little bit of a higher mix again, higher tax rate mix again.
That's correct, and we are expecting that mix to be greater in 2014 than we have seen in 13. So you're absolutely correct, Brad.
Okay. Thanks, Beth.
Our next question is from Kurt Hallett from RBC Capital Markets.
Hey, good morning. Good
morning, Kurt.
I got the question I have. I just want to get a little bit more clarity on the dynamics around the guidance for 2014, because I think if you strip out the pension and the severance from, I think your pension and severance are included in that 255 to 275 guidance. So do I understand that correctly?
You understand that correctly, Kurt. Both the pension and the severance charge is included in the 255 to 275, correct?
Okay, so if we wanted to just focus on the operational dynamics of what's going on at FMC, Marianne, and you took the pension and that severance out of the equation, what would that equate to in terms of the guidance range?
Yeah, you know that's roughly 8 to 9 cents between the pension charge and the severance charge in total.
Okay, great. And then the I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say, when we think about that, just for the sake of clarity, you know, we will incur the severance costs largely in the first quarter. The lion's share, the majority of that pension expense will be in the fourth quarter, just as you're, you know, as you're trying to calibrate that. But.
Right. Okay, great. And then, John, you mentioned about $1.5 billion in aftermarket, you know, service and slash aftermarket, I guess is how we would phrase it. And another $500 million in book and turn. Is that the was that the numbers for 2013, or is that kind of a run rate you would expect to achieve in 2014?
The $1.5 billion in aftermarket services is higher than what we had in 2013, but it's one we should expect because our activity level's higher. So we would expect that to grow, and it is higher. The 1.5 that I mentioned, and the book and turn is just a little bit higher than what we normally.
See what we saw in 2013. Okay. And then the, I guess the other follow up would have for is on the surface side. I know, Marianne, you said that 2014 would be higher than 2013. If I happen to recall correctly, I think the prior guidance for surface margins in 2014, I think wasn't it around 15 to 16% or something like that. So how do we calibrate the higher than 14 relative to maybe that 15 to 16% range provided in the past?
So you have a good memory, Kurt. Yes, you're correct. That is a reasonable range to think about for surface technologies for 2014.
So that hasn't changed. Your guide point on surface margin then really hasn't changed.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. That's it. That's it for me. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Our next question is from Jim Wicklund from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jeff.
You guys have always been terribly efficient in most everything that you do, and so having headcount reductions in September, December, and again now, is this related to the completion of Clove and Logan? Is this the result of projects being over, or is this just an efficiency push to make the Eastern region more streamlined?
Jim, it's the latter. This is, I mentioned my prepared remarks, it's staff and support. We're not taking anybody out that we need for capacity for project load. This is a leaning out of the organization, and so it's staff and support to make it more efficient.
Do we have a number on the headcount, an approximation about how many people?
Well, we haven't really given much of one yet. The entire reductions, including the ones we took last year and the ones we intend to take in the first quarter, is something less than 10% for the entire region. So order of magnitude, it's something like that.
Perfect. And Clove and Logan, can you give us an update? Are they done now?
Yeah, Logan Tormar, all the equipment is completely shipped. It's just some remaining documentation. That's done, and Clove is mostly almost done. I think it's in the high 80% is complete. The only thing that remains is the final assembly and test in Angola. So almost done, completely done on Logan Tormar, almost done on Clove.
Congratulations on those. Marianne, let me ask you a question if I could. Your subsea intervention stacks, can you give us an approximation as to what one of those stacks generates in terms of revenues for a year for you guys? I know they're JVs, but how much revenue it generates for you a year?
So So let me try this, Jim. You know, the three stacks that we have operating now are actually operating through the Eastern region. We don't have a stack operating through the JV as of yet. So just to be specific, when we talk about two additional plus JV.
Yeah, no,
it's okay. So those three stacks have been operating in the Eastern region. Actually, one started back in 2006. And, you know, we have not quantified the amount of revenue associated with those. You know, to kind of calibrate for you the impact in the first quarter, you know, I talked about in a range of $30 to $35 million. That included the cost of the recertification for the stack, if you will, and then covering all the cost, i.e. the loss margin, as well as the restructuring. And I'll tell you, the lion's share of that, say two-thirds, if you will, of that estimate is really focused on the impact from those two intervention stacks being down. If that helps you.
Perfect. That gives us that's the guidance I needed. Thank you, Marion. Thanks, guys.
Okay, you're welcome.
Our next question is from Marshall Adkins from Raymond James.
Morning, Marion. Could you give us a little more color on the Angola accounting issue? And it sounds a little like that may happen again in the future. Or is that not right?
Sure, happy to do that for you. So as it relates to this particular issue, we do not have an obligation to pay the tax. The obligation is actually the customer. So this $23 million is actually really a catch-up for services against the majority of the prior revenues on a particular contract. So, you know, it is part of the new Angolan law, and yes, it is possible that going forward we would have a similar situation. But if the law is applied correctly, then obviously we would be obligated to pay the tax. In this particular situation, we are not. So that's why you see the benefit, if you will, in the segment, and then, you know, it is offset in the tax piece. Right now, we do not have a good estimate, in terms of our full-year forecast, as to how that might shake out, depending on how other customers might go forward with that. But yes, there is clearly possibility that we will see charges going forward. It would obviously not be of that magnitude, given that this particular issue was a catch-up, if you will.
Right. Okay. That's helpful. John, one I have for you is on the pump orders. Are you seeing any light at the end of the tunnel there for the fracturing side, or is it mostly just kind of chicks and replacement parts and stuff like that?
Well, I would say no light at the end of the tunnel, but no, we have not seen any capital equipment orders. I think the pressure pumpers are not, you know, they're going to be loath to say that they're increasing their fleet. So I don't think you're going to get that indication. Even if we do get some CapEx orders, it's probably not going to get advertised. And so
that's my question.
We're not seeing any CapEx requirements, and we're not planning for any CapEx requirements in 2014. Having said that, the replacement parts, particularly with the increase in frac stages and well counts and that kind of stuff, has held up pretty good, all things considered. But no, we're not counting on any capital. Eventually this stuff wears out, and they'll have to order some CapEx, but it's not in our 2014 plans.
But I was figuring the chicks and business ought to be pretty healthy and probably steady state from here, maybe even improving, just because it is kind of a replacement cycle part, right?
Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you all.
Our next question is from Waqar Syed from Goldman Sachs.
Thank you very much. On the certification question, did you say that it's a 5-year certification requirement for the intervention stacks?
Yes, and two of our stacks will be recertified in the first quarter.
Now, is there an annual requirement as well that we may see every year some downtime on them and some cost issues associated? No? Okay. Just 5 years.
Certification. There's always a risk of downtime, although our equipment has had extremely good uptime in the years we've been running it. But no certification other than the 5 years.
Okay, great. And then I know we can do it ourselves too, but just you know, if you could provide guidance on what would be the margin guidance for Subsea if we had excluded severance from that?
We have not called out specifically the total amount of severance. So when we think about the $30 to $35 million that I'm talking about in the first quarter,
right.
as I mentioned earlier, about two thirds of that really is associated with a stack. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then just on Canada, what's the outlook for the year as a whole? Do you see some improvement coming in there?
Yeah, fourth quarter performance in Canada, actually for the whole year, was pretty weak. So we've got some improvement baked in for Canada in 2014.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's all I have.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Scott Gruber from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Well, my questions have been answered. Thanks.
And our final question is from Brandon Doble from William Blair. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just a clarification on your comment about the tree orders in 14 and then 15. The big West Africa projects, how much could that move around, I guess, the pacing of inbound orders in the through the year? You kind of said maybe evenly split across the years, trying to get a feel for if that evenly split includes some assumption about some of these bigger orders, or if that is kind of outside of that commentary. Thanks.
Yeah, the even distribution of ours, I was talking more about the ones FMC is focused on. In terms of the industry, the big one out there is Total's Kaombo project, 66
right.
trees. Right now, when you look at the pace of the tender, it can very well be awarded this year, and it's probably, just because it's West Africa, we ought to assume that it's towards the back half of the year. So that's the big one. But if it were to move out of 2014, would have a material effect on the total awards driven. But there's a couple of other West Africa projects, ENI 1506. ENI's project in Ghana. These are big West Africa projects that are likely to be in the second half of the year, and those would be the ones, if they moved out, would have a pretty big impact on the industry's award total for 14.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
And I'll turn it back over to you, Brad, for any final remarks.
This concludes our fourth quarter conference call. A replay of our call will be available on our website beginning at approximately 2 p.m. Eastern Time today. We will conduct our first quarter 2014 conference call on April 23rd at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact me. Thank you for joining us. John, you may end this call.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.